When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'll just go. Is it? Hello and welcome to this episode of Mythstories, the podcast where we decide is this mystery or history.
Yep. Can I say something before we start?
Well, great top.
Thank you, mate. First of all, I like that. Now, were those bought together? No. Your cardigan and your hat?
No, because they don't match. They're different colours of green.
Nobody would know. You wouldn't even. It's Mandela effect. You'd look at you and assume they do.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll take
it. It's the knitted Mandela effect.
I have one that's that exact shade, though. I actually have two. They're that exact shade.
I have that in the house.
Yeah.
It's on a teapot.
This guy.
Now,
hurting feelings before we get started.
I'll say this. I really like the music of One Direction. Non-ironically. I think One Direction have some great pop hits, right?
What would a One Direction song be? I think I only know one or two of them.
What Makes You Beautiful, Night Changes, Little Things.
There's definitely one that I know. Wrote.
There's millions.
What's their biggest song?
What Makes You Beautiful.
Oh, where's it go?
Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that
I've
you
heard that.
Of course you...
Well, wait, is Night Changes sounds like
Night Changes
one
is one of the big ones. Don't know why I said it.
All right.
But listen, what I'm saying is this. My favorite ever One Direction song is called History, ironically enough. And it's the best, but it came out, I think on their last album, they were sort of like, they'd lost a little bit of that heat. Still huge, but it's brilliant. But I would like to rework it. The original goes, oh, I'm not going to sing for you, but the original one goes like this. You and me got a whole lot of history.
I've heard that one.
We could be the greatest team that the world has ever seen. You and me. But I want to rework it.
Right.
Now, if this is lame or whatever, just edit it out.
Lame Payne?
Yeah, nice.
Put that out of my dick hole.
Lame Payne? If this is no good, cut it out. But if it's cool, leave it in. You and me gonna solve a mystery. Whoa. We could be the greatest pod that the world has ever seen.
I like
you
it.
You and me. Gonna solve another
Give us some
mystery.
More volume. This is a wee bit Damien Rice.
You
here.
And me gonna solve another mystery. Oh, we could be the greatest pod that the world has ever seen.
I like that.
You and me.
I like that.
But like,
History's also the name of one of my favorite Funeral for a Friend songs from the second album, Ours.
Okay. And you're talking out of yours?
It was a single.
Okay.
It did a video about the Welsh Manning strike anyway. Okay.
Since arches in your arches.
Weird song.
You're singing on a pod.
Fucking fringes like that and all.
Your history is mine.
Anyway, all the emos, all our emo fans out there love it. Do you know what emos do? Read history books because we're all wee feelers. Anyway,
read
right?
The angst
which sounds
away.
Weird. So today's episode, we're going to investigate the sinking and discovery of the Titanic.
Oh boy.
The RMS.
Here, tell you what. Can I tell you something? It was your eight when I left here.
So, lots to go through here. Obviously, there's some shit. You're bound to know some shit about this. Have you been to the museum? The Titanic Museum in Belfast?
I've performed
But you haven't gone around the exhibition?
No.
How do you feel about E17?
Hey, man, you know what it doesn't look like?
E17.
You know what it looks
Stay
like?
Stay now.
You know what it looks like? An elderly Tibetan man. E17. Yeah, man, you look like Brian Harvey. You look like Brian Blessed.
Oh, he's just a loud cunt.
You look like Harvey Milk.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
So, right.
If you're asking me what I know about it,
right.
I do know a little bit about the Titanic.
When did it sink?
2 years ago or so? Was it in COVID?
1912. Yes.
Yeah.
1912.
Yeah. I know shit about it.
Right, well, what do you know? You tell me what you know.
I tell you what, see, to actually launch it from the dry dock, you know what they had to use a lot of? Bars of soap.
Really?
Yep. They literally use soap.
Mental. Push it into the water. Yep. I didn't know it.
I do know quite a bit about it.
Have you been through that exhibition at the museum?
No.
Here's what I'd say about that. It's great.
Money trap.
It's a wee. Do you know there's some good stuff in it? It's a bit shit, isn't it, Dan? Right. So like, do you know what's disappointing? I think the most disappointing thing about that place is that big grand staircase is the thing that you want to go see because it's like the grand staircase off the
you
ship.
You don't do it as part of it,
and it's not part of the tour.
Because when you do a corporate gig in that's the Titanic, where it is. You perform at the bottom of that staircase. Yeah.
Somebody tried to get me to perform on that staircase one time, and I was like, lads.
Oh, like Fred Astaire?
Yeah, I'm like, I can't do this. Like, so it was like
Fred can't do stairs.
It's good. Thanks. No, it's only it's my feelings, but so
I just mean you can't dance on them.
I can't dance on the flat. Like, let's be serious.
I can't dance on the flat.
I know. Prefer doing it. I like doing it on ice or on hills. But anyway, so the ship was built. For a few years before 1912, it was they sort of finished actually building it here, I think in like 1911, and it launched, and then they kept working on it, obviously do the interiors and all that shit. So it was made by Harland and Wolff. It cost 1.5 million, which if you went to build it today, it would cost you 150 million.
That's actually not like a lot.
No, all if you right. were telling here, me, like, listen, we all haven't done ship. Full runs at the Opera House, Shane. That's a lot of
yeah, because I got £150 million for that. No, I just mean.
Do you know what I'm thinking of doing? Do you want to know this?
Yeah.
Genuinely. Hmm. So I'm doing that run at the Opera House.
Right. You're going to do a residency in the Stenline?
What I would love to do is do something silly with the money from one of those gigs.
Like what?
We bet.
You want to do a bet? Well, hold on. Sidebar. What do you mean you want to do a bet?
Like a wee bet, like a wee 3-1. Like find something that's
with
going.
What percentage of the money?
No, with like one show, which is ludicrous. I've never bet anything like that before. I think most of ever.
Well,
bet
talk
on
about fucking in for a penny, in for a penny,
in for a penny,
in for a penny, in for 15 grand.
It's ludicrous, isn't it? I'm not allowed. I'm not doing it. I won't do it. Do you know what? I should give it to charity. I should give one show's worth. I'm not doing that either, but I should. I should. I've been doing wee bits. Anyway, right, so here...
Why don't you take, if you want to, why don't you take one money's worth, bet half of it, give the other half charity?
That's interesting. What I might do is bet all of it, and if I win, give some of it to charity.
I'm going to tell you something.
Don't bet. What?
Yeah, move your mic away. Okay, wait.
That's a good,
and I don't bet either.
That's a good time.
What do you think of that?
I think that's great because I love that game.
Right.
Anyway, like I love roulette. Anyway, like I'm not allowed it. I'm not allowed it.
It's not cheese.
No, but I'm not allowed that either. I love it. Right. Anyway. Right. So it would be 100.
Was there a casino on the Titanic?
I don't think so. No. What they did have, though, so a couple of wee things. So let's look at the luxury of the Titanic first, right?
Anyway, I always end at 150 million. You know, price everything nowadays.
Huh?
I think it'd be more to build it.
Yeah, okay. No, 150 million, though, for a fucking boat, like.
It's true.
Right, so, plus you'd be building it to the spec of, like, 100 years ago. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, right, so let's look at something. So the grand staircase, Dan, this is the staircase. This is... That's literally it. Like, I mean, absolutely sensational. They've built that in the what do you call it, in the centre, and obviously they made one for the movie. James Cameron, 1997, great film. Did you like the movie? Did you go see the movie?
Went to see it, thought it was absolutely brilliant.
I thought
it was great.
I love it. Like, me and Chloe watch this twice a year.
Weird.
Why is that weird?
There's no movie I'd watch twice a year.
No, there definitely is. Once a year.
I need any movie, no matter how great I think it is, I need 5 years in between watching.
Oh, no.
I couldn't watch a movie twice a year. No way.
Do you know what I do? I have a problem with projecting things that I see in my life. So, like, I'd see the old couple holding each other's hands, weeping when the water starts coming in, and I'd be like, that's us. right?
Yeah.
I have a problem with that. I can't even watch First Dates because when people are being weird, I'm like, I'm not like that. And she's like, I know you're not, but you fuck up.
Yeah, right.
I have a problem. Anyway, other luxuries they had. This is the first class lounge. This is based off of... this is actually, Dan, I believe this is actually the...
It's like every local hotel.
I think that's the restaurant. I think that's the restaurant.
I know it's not a restaurant. You're not sitting in chairs like that.
I think that is the restaurant. That's the restaurant. That based on the Ritz in Paris, and the menu is based on that. So here's the thing, Jim.
I heard that most of the shots of the interior aren't actually from the Titanic. They're from one of their sister ships.
Oh, really?
Because they had to finish the Titanic so quickly they didn't have time. So
oh, fuck, like I didn't
90%
know
of interior pictures are actually from, what are the Britannia, is it?
The Britannia or
what was the other one?
What was the other one? The Olympia?
Olympia.
Yeah. This is the gym. I mean...
Oh, do you know what? You don't even think of gyms back then,
no,
do you?
But
you don't think of some boy...
There's a horse. Look, they'll have a horse.
Pommel horse?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, for the audio listeners, you probably need to specify that.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, this is the sort of gym though where men would lift large kettlebells and then box each other like that.
Yeah,
I'll boof you.
I love it. You don't think a boy's back in 1912 and all being like, "Here, I'm waiting to get a wee gym session in here." Like,
no, I mean, to be fair as well. Say if I was on a boat where there's a restaurant that's based off of the Ritz. I mean, and even if there wasn't, basically, say if I was on a boat and there's like the wee restaurant from the HSS on there, I'm not going to the gym.
Right. One thing I'll say about the gym, which is a bit shit, no TV showing Sky Sports News.
Yeah, you need that. Do you know what? I'd love to know what music was on in there because dragging the wee string quartet that played near My God, Did They Would Come Down and during the gym session. A wee bit of a logical song.
It's a great point of, and I think people will, if this is an underrated point you bring up. In 1912 in gyms, was there any form of music pumping out?
Just a wee bit of Brahms.
A wee bit of Bach. Because it's Bach Day.
This guy. Beethoven, because I'm gonna bait my way. No, it was Scrapper. Anyway, I should have just. I hate myself.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm gonna go home and like mull how shit that was.
Yep.
For ages, right? Anyway, so that's the gym. The first class lounge was actually based on the Palace of Versailles. It's all very grand. So this is where they're sinking the old coin, right? Now, here's some of the people.
By the way, no spoilers because I haven't seen the end of the movie.
That's the outer view of the boat leaving Southampton on the tenth of Southampton.
And the tenth of
Nineteen Belfast.
On the tenth of Southampton.
So it went from Southampton, I think, to Cherbourg in France, and then from Cherbourg to. Cove in Cork.
Yeah, it was Queenstown.
Queenstown. Cove. And then went
I actually didn't know that. Went straight.
And then went from there across and met its fate. Now, we'll have a picture of the map. I know vaguely where it is. If you put the map up, I'll tell you where it is. So
it's a different map.
Are
you shitting yourself now, Kieran?
I know where it is, though.
On your wee map?
Right, okay, well, that actually has it. No, that's great. So that was the plan anyway. And then, obviously...
Sorry, again, you're saying that was the plan.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the end of the movie. So I don't really know.
Well, where the boat is there is basically where...
And then they get to New York and it's all good?
It would have been.
What do you mean?
I love that scene in Ghostbusters 2 where the Titanic arrives and I go... You gotta take this. He said the Titanic just arrived, and it shows up, and it's Cheech Marin, you know the comedian.
Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, it's him sitting there watching the people walking off the Titanic, all, and there's a big hole in the side of the ship, and he goes, "Well, better late than never." Great banter. Anyway, so it struck the iceberg, and it went down. At that point, it was discovered in 1985, the wreckage, right? So,
really?
Lots to talk about here.
Again, didn't know it.
Lots to talk about, right? So, let's go through some of the people that were on it. This is interesting. Yeah, so in terms of the crew, we had the captain, EJ Smith.
That sounds like, sorry, captain. That sounds like you're in a stag. All the crew here, the captain's here, the EJ crew. Smith.
The lads. Here he is, the lads. Look at this Tatum and his whites.
And he looks like a hipster as well.
Yeah, why are you dressed up like a sailor? It's not fancy dressed, I could. So,
it's a great beard, isn't it?
He's very Captain Birdseye, isn't he? Like the actual guy on the
fish finger
box. I would
say they model Captain Birdseye on people like him, not the other way around.
Aye. But isn't he like that? Looks like looks like he's had a few fishy fingers in his days. And then... Mm-hmm. Handsome bastard.
Yeah.
So he was a very experienced naval captain. Then there's also First Officer Murdoch, who we have a picture of, who's the guy then. So, right, so there's Contessa. That's a great pick.
Is that me?
So there's Contessa. No, you're one of the radio operators. So the there's his end is contested, basically. So some people say, and they showed this in the movie, where one of the officers is meant to have shot a few lads and then turned a gun on himself in shame. And people say it was him. Second officer, Lightoller, if we show a picture, an unbelievable life, by the way, which we'll have to talk about, Charles Lightoller, he said at the inquiry that he last saw Murdoch helping load one of the last boats before a wave came and swept him into the sea. But there's... thinking there that he was trying to prevent Murdoch's family from knowing what he did.
Dad smacks old dog at my homework.
Yeah, yeah.
Dog, hey, looks
dog
like
at
you.
My homework, see at my mate, who definitely didn't shoot people and then kill himself.
He looks a wee bit like you.
Looks like me?
Yeah, a wee bit.
Interesting. He had would he hear this guy's life? This is fucking unbelievable. So he was like, he was on boats from he was like 13, right? And he was in fucking like Australia and Canada and all, right? I mean, at this time, this is like in the late 1800s.
He's not flying Emirates.
No, he's boating White Star Line and other fucking Cunard Line and all this, right? So he ends up over in Canada in the Yukon, which is like far side of Canada, doing gold prospecting. He failed at that. He worked his way back across Canada, basically as a hobo, like just riding the rails on the trains.
Thank God, that's not what I thought you said at the start.
I know, well, and here, work. And he liked it wet and salty one way or another. So he gets back across Canada, gets on like another boat and gets back to England and then joins basically the Merchant Navy and becomes like this, right? He survived a sinking. He survived a fire on a boat, which he put out himself apparently in the coal room, and fucking was like upgraded then from being like a lowly sort of guy to being like third officer on the ships. He then becomes like second officer on the Titanic. He survived the sinking of the Titanic. He testified at the inquiries in America and UK, and then became a fucking captain of a ship during World War One, where he sunk a German U-boat, and allegedly he was accused of a war crime by the captain of that U-boat, who said he turned the guns of the ship on the sunk German sailors, like they were obviously floating up to the top after being sunk off this U-boat, and he's meant to have ordered the killing of a load of them.
Is there a law that, like, during war, if you're on a boat and you're trying to kill people on another boat and then you fall off your boat, they just have to, like, let you swim away?
etiquette, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but...
It's like, do you ever be in a bumper car race and someone falls out of the car? You let them live, you know what I mean?
Yeah, very different.
Yeah. And then he, after that, he was given medals and he became basically then like a civilian again, where he was like, working in different, like he had a business in like down near the bottom of England. I can't remember where it was, Southampton or Dover or somewhere.
Of course.
But then his son was a pilot in World War II who died, and then he took part in the evacuation of Dunkirk. He was one of the little ships, the armada of boats that went across and evacuated
Dunkirk. He can't
stay away
from the drama.
Mate, he
loves it.
I'll say this, see if you want your ship to fucking not sink, don't have that cunt near it.
Yeah.
He's a liability. He loves it, right? He live. Do you know what he is? Charles Lightoller is the driver who rakes through you on the motorway and lives and leaves carnage in his wake,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Now, that's harsh because I think he's a fascinating historical figure, but...
All right, he's not going to shag you.
And, That's unbelievable. There's no comeback from it. So he died of like natural causes or whatever in the no. I want to say like the 60s or somewhere 50s, but he lived a fucking very full life. Then we also have Thomas Andrews. So this is the guy who designed the ship. He was a naval architect, head of design at Harland & Wolff. Guess what school he went to? Do you know this?
No.
Inst.
Okay. So he probably talked a little bit like, are we going to play, are we playing against Methody or Sully Upper today?
Yeah. He was probably a ball bag if he went to Inst. I mean, have you ever met anybody that wasn't?
One of my best
mates. To be fair, one of my mates is sound and I like him and he's...
Don't judge. He went to Inst.
Yeah. Great rugby player as well. Very nearly made as a pro. Got a hip injury. He might. So anyway, so that's Thomas Andrews. He's the guy in the movie who's like, these boats were tested in the Port of Belfast with a weight of 70 men. I love acting, people acting here. So that actor's also in Alias and Sleepless in Seattle. I'll have to say that. Yes, I can't remember his name just now.
I know, he's one of those guys in
He's a lot of stuff. He's a that guy. So yeah. That guy, anyway.
The bridesmaid.
So he went down with the ship. This guy stayed there. He tried to... He was the first, one of the first people that realised they were fucked. He went and inspected the...
No. The reason he died is because he went around everyone being like, he designed this ship. I don't know who he is, but it's probably not his fault. He probably doing that literally flat out, and then he went, but...
You remember what I told you about the lifeboats, don't you, Rose? Yeah. Oh, mate. Your wee asshole's twitching there. Do you know what's a great little fact about him, though? See that scene in Titanic where Jack and Rose run through the room, and he's standing, checking his time against the clock? That is actually an eyewitness report from the thing that's where he was last seen at that clock.
Fucking checking about the
time.
His watch?
Checking the time.
Get off the boat.
So he,
what was he checking time for?
He knew he couldn't get off the boat. If he'd survived, that would not have been good for him. Because he designed
Well, you know what's worse for him? Death.
Well, this is the thing, though. So... I was reading about this, so it actually had
it's
room.
Mental that they're like people like captains of boats or someone like him has the thought of fuck, it looks like I'm just gonna have to die then.
that's being a man though.
No, it's
going
not.
Down with a ship, right?
That's not being a man.
We're gonna go through some stats, right? They actually had room and the ability to unload 64 lifeboats.
Could we maybe do this later in the story and get?
Sorry,
like,
they had 20.
We've just left Cove, so...
Right, we've left Cove. Everything's great. The boat's running well. All these famous people are on board. Molly Brown. J.J. Astor. One of the richest people on Earth. Benjamin Guggenheim's on it. The Guggenheim Museum's named after him and all, right? So, like, a lot of rich people. W.T. Stead, the founder of tabloid journalism, is on there. Some people... Now, there's a story. I don't know if this is true. The story of Jack Johnson, the boxer.
Mystery or history?
Well, there's talk that this is a bit of both, right? So, Jack Johnson, the heavyweight champion, very famous black athlete, apparently...
Tragic life.
Wanted to get on this boat, apparently, and go first class. And apparently, they wouldn't let him. And then whenever the boat sank, he was like, oh, well.
Yep.
And was like... How happy are you at that moment?
By the way, we should do an episode on him.
Yeah.
Very interesting story and career.
Not as cool, though, as Jack Johnson, the banana pancake singer, but anyway.
Upside down.
What's that wee one? The other wee one that he did? On the back of a postcard.
Yeah, it goes, there's no combination of words I can put on the back of a postcard. I've never seen Dan more passionate about anything in his life because Jack Johnson is like a surfer guy,
big
like
surfer.
A white guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Vespasian hates it, right? So boat has it's going. It's got all these. I read about it, but I can't be fucking through it. All stuff to do with like
some of the
how
powerful
strong was
people in the world on it.
And a big powerful engine and people are saying
this has
a big
powerful engine. Just to double check, this is a big powerful engine. Yeah, it's got a big
72,000 horsepower.
There you go. Right,
three propellers.
Massive boat. Right. Apparently, though, only three of those chimneys were needed, and the other one was just for aesthetics, which I enjoy.
Because people thought it was better, but you had four.
Yeah,
so they just
it was grander. So, So it's sailing across. It's maiden voyage.
How long was it supposed to take? Was it 21 days?
So they were way gone. More? They were gone.
Oh, right.
It was supposed to dock in New York on the 15th. So, but possibly the 16th, but they were hoping it would get there in, 5 days?
I think it was five.
It's 5 days from Southampton.
It's slightly slower than some of the other ones because of the luxury. They don't push it as hard.
Right.
And so when they get in towards that North Atlantic bit, they start getting warnings from other ships, specifically the California, start sending them more ice warnings. Now, ice at this time of year, April, in that area, very normal, and you just need to slow down and sort of navigate through it. Now, when they were on maneuvers, like learning how to like run the ship, there's binoculars in the crow's nest for the guys to keep an eye out, and that box was locked, and the person who locked it took the key with them and then never got back on the ship because they rotated some of the staff after those maneuvers. So like I think it was basically something like first officer got replaced and everyone else got bumped up one, that sort of a thing. So you know, who the guy who was first officer became first mate and so on. And so that person had the key and tried to get back to the boat with it and never made it. So they had binoculars, but they couldn't open the box. So the guys in the crow's nest...
Break in?
Yeah. Why didn't they break in? It's not...
Because they didn't believe there was anything wrong, and it was sort of like a thing of, if you break the box, you have to pay for it yourself.
Binoculars weren't as important because they weren't looked to like to see an iceberg. They were looked to see details. So when they were looking for icebergs, they would have just used their eyes. They weren't using binoculars.
Right, okay.
The binoculars were used to see details within objects.
Interesting.
So they don't think it would have made a difference.
Well, basically, they see this fucking iceberg too late, right? And they try to port round it, which was like to turn left round it. I read about this, but I can't really remember. But wait, here. Suck my dick, everybody. There's a picture of the one that they believe is the Titanic iceberg. Where they say that the shadow here
looks fake.
Well, this is what this is. This is a picture from the time.
Looks like where they say
there's red paint on the bottom of it there, a streak of red paint.
I think Mark McCartney called you out and made a joke on No Blasters podcast.
He did.
And you're trying to...
This is the picture that I saw, though, that was in the National Geographic, and I went and found it, and I believe it from the time.
Apparently the iceberg would have melted in 4 to 6 weeks after the incident. Massive. So.
Well, this is apparently, though, from one of the rescue ships is meant to have taken this.
Spoof.
Because that's what they're doing. Instead of picking up survivors, take a picture.
Well, the fucking matter, they didn't really pick up any survivors, did they? They hardly fucking saved any cunt out of the water. Anyway, so one guy who did survive in the water, this is a great wee fact.
He was drunk
to a perfect amount. It was enough to keep him warm without like shutting his systems down.
Right.
So he actually survived, and he's in the movie. He's one of the last people in the water. I mean, see, to be
how
fair,
how long do you think he was in there for, Bob?
A couple of hours. See, to be fair, see James.
Who was
Cameron,
it? Wim Hof.
See James Cameron's version of this. There's so many things that he doesn't go into all the. He doesn't go. This is the guy who survived because he was drinking. Shows you a guy fucking drinking, no one going into the drink, and then you see him later. Doesn't say anything. Like it's just. Wee Easter eggs all over it, right? Like the priest was a real person. The priest who's like saying the fucking act of contrition for people and all, that's real. He was on his way to marry his brother, if you know what I mean. He was on his way to conduct his brother's wedding ceremony in America and never made it. So anyway, they see this iceberg. They try to turn around it. It doesn't work. The iceberg under the waterline strikes the boat and like rips part of it along the boat, which is the very thing. If they had just blasted through it, they may have been okay, but it might have ripped the bottom. But the whole point is the Titanic is built in such a way where it has these compartments under the waterline, which can allow a certain amount of water in, but it was only designed to let
I think there were 16 in total.
And four of them could float, but not five.
And it was five.
It started coming over the top then as it started to go down. It starts going into the following compartments all the way to the back. And then the boat eventually, like, so it starts to break then.
Yes.
Because the front's getting heavier, and then it breaks. It starts breaking at the top, and then it goes like that, and then it's bobbing there. The bottom detaches, and the rest of it, like, floats around for a wee bit, and then it just goes down under it as well.
But it takes quite a while.
It took 2 hours and 40 minutes from the strike, which was at, what, like 20 to 11, I think, was it?
Isn't it funny when you watch a movie
and then it's like 2:20? Is that three?
You're like, just walk to the top and then hang on there. When you watch the movie as a kid, you're like,
I know, yeah.
Wait at the top?
It's like, get into the lift, and then just before it smashes to the ground, just jump.
Yeah.
So, loads of people, obviously, listen. I wouldn't do that. There was 2,224 people on it, and 1,514 of them died. So this is where you get into the stuff to do with what did they try to do to save people, right? So they had a Marconi radio operation, radio room, basically, which could do 24-hour, like, Morse code signals, right? So this was, like, a new thing. So here's the two radio operators, Jack Phillips and Harold Bride. So Harold Bride, there's Yushin.
That's me.
So he survived. He was the junior radio operator. And that's Jack Phillips. So Jack is the one who, when the California were sending ice warnings, he was trying to tap through messages for passengers to New York and back to London as well, or wherever, back to England. And he was doing telegrams, and he literally said to them, shut up, I'm doing messages here. And so the California went, right, well, and they turned off the night, right? And so he stayed there after the ship was hit. They fired these rockets, like, what do you call it? Distress signals. And he was doing the new one, which was called, what's it, a CPD or something like that? The
SOS.
SOS.
It was the old SOS.
Was CPD, the rockets?
Well, anyway. I think it was OSOS, the old SOS.
So he was doing SOS, right? And which is three long dashes, three short ones.
The NSOS.
Ones. Do you know what?
The new SOS.
Three.
I'll never need the no bro. It's 2024.
Here, you never know. Three long dashes, three short dots, three dots, three dashes.
I think that's Eiffel 65.
As opposed to, which is SMS. Did you know that's SMS in Morse code?
No.
That week, remember that used to be your message tone? SMS, that's what that means. Top banter. Now, anyway.
CQD was the old
CQD, that's what it was. What's CPD?
CBD's that thing you take the chill out.
Oh, just fucking. Do you know what it does, mate? It makes music better. Now, he stayed there sending messages right to the end. He told him to go save himself, which he did. Jack Phillips stayed there. He was literally sending distress signals, and it cuts out halfway through because the water came in. Right, so lots of craziness.
How did Harold Bragg get off?
He got off on one of the lifeboats. So
what was on the women and children?
Well, they do the women and children first. Can we bring up the stats, Dan? The stats are interesting. So this is a wee breakdown.
Yeah, give a second.
All right. We'll have a wee breakdown of the statistics of where you get saved, basically, from where you
were. Hold on. Do you send him emails?
Yeah.
About this, where you research?
Yeah. Every night. Not every night. Nights before we do this.
Right.
Yeah, I made 3 wee documents for this week's recordings. Yeah. I'm organized that way. So, basically, like, if you were a woman in first class, or a child in first class or second class, good chance of getting off this, right? Good high percentage. If you were a male in third class, hope you like salt water, mate, because no one gives a fuck about you.
Right.
So there are stories of people in third class not even getting out of their rooms.
Yeah.
Because they weren't properly alarmed. Like, they weren't told, basically, weren't wakened and things like that, and they're just left there, and they didn't even know there was anything wrong because they were asleep. So
you wake up, when the water comes in, though?
Well, fuck. It'll be too late for you.
Oh, aye.
I mean, once the water's in, like, you're...
But even so, I've met, you know, people who are like, I'm a heavy sleeper.
Yeah. So the stats, Dan, I think are down near the bottom. Yeah, here we go. Right. So, So if you're like, if you're a woman in like first class there, you can see there's like 144 and 140 of them got saved.
Right.
So like that's.
What do you think the other four were doing? Gossiping probably.
Yeah. Sitting out. Some of them actually, one of them is definitely somebody who stayed with her husband.
Really?
One of them definitely is. Yeah. Story about her. And then
that's made me emotional.
Mate, here it's mental.
Idiot like, but
it's mental like some.
Give him a kiss and away you go. Give him a wee quick.
But one of the people who did get off the boat.
HSJ.
So sorry, save you move down there, Dan. See if so look at the crew, 885 crew.
That guy's a bad guy. Imagine your wife was like, here, they're letting me up and I'm going to stay with you. And he just goes, ah. Just say, nah, don't do it.
885 crew, yep. And only, how many?
192.
They're saved.
Mad.
So like, that's a pretty bad percentage of the crew getting wiped out. Apparently, did you know this? The White Star Line stopped paying the crew of the Titanic from 2:20 a.m. So they're sound.
What would you have tried to throw in there for a queue jump to get in the lifeboat?
I definitely would have dressed up as a woman.
I'd have dressed up as a woman. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Here, can you imagine these in one of them wee courses?
Oh, yeah. They'd be trying to snog you, the lifeboat operators. They wouldn't let you off.
She must be French. Your tits are hairy. Right. So, me sitting there going, ooh.
I am Madame Barley.
Madame Barley. Oh, fucking unbelievable. So, you can also see there, if you were third class and second class men, 92% losses in the second class, 84% in the third class. So like, just a solid chance you're gonna die if you're a man on this. So that's why there's a gender pay gap now. Anyway, so one person who did get off the boat, and I didn't get a picture of him, but you remember him from the movie, because he's played by the guy who plays Van Pelt in Jumanji, is Bruce Ismay.
Mm-hmm.
So he got off the boat and like lived in fucking disgrace. People thought he was a disgrace because he owned the boat. He was one of the top people in the White Star Line.
CEO of
White Star Line. A wanker, look. His business partner was meant to be on it and cancelled his trip at the last minute and said he would get the next one. So a couple of interesting wee things. The news story went out about it immediately, right? So we'll have a picture of this newsboy. This is a famous thing. They actually have a mural of this kid in East Belfast.
Seen it?
Ned Parfitt. London newsboy. Titanic disaster, great loss of lives. And then we also have an advert from the New York Times that went out on the 15th, which was an advert advertising the Titanic to go back the way, to go back to... Oh, we don't have it. Well, I had it in my document anyway, right? I'm sorry.
As in, they already had that ready to go out, so they ran it?
Yeah, like they couldn't pull it. So, great. I mean, why would you pull it? They've already paid for the space. Let them advertise it, keep their coin. Anyway, right? Taste and whatever. A lot of great hats and stuff in the background there. So, basically, like, the stories I've heard out of the crew... One story that I read about was a guy who basically broke his leg real early into this happening. The water started coming into one of the cold chambers or whatever, and he broke his leg and just had to, like, they tried to save him and they couldn't fucking get him out. And basically,
with a broken leg, I'd get out.
I think he'd like fully shattered his leg and pelvis because he fell from quite high in one of the engine rooms.
Mate, I took a corner with a broken leg 2 seasons ago. That's fact. Ask people.
Well, you would have lived, right? But yeah. this guy died. Other people couldn't save him anyway. Other people that I read about. Some of the stories I read about are absolutely tragic. Of like,
most of them are
like people. I know, but like people, like, you know, fucking mothers and fathers putting their kids on the boats and things. This is one of the boats, with the collapsible sides. So they actually only, I was saying earlier, they had space and the ability to offload 64 boats, which actually would have been enough for nearly double the passengers. Right. They only had 20 boats. So it was only, even at best, it wouldn't have been enough for everybody. But the whole, but the two things about that was they really believed it couldn't be sunk. Yep. And also, according to naval law at the time, they actually had more boats on it than was legally like mandated. So it was like, because the whole point of lifeboats at this time wasn't to like keep you in the water for hours. It was just to like transport you to the next boat while your boat's going down.
Right.
So people, they didn't think this could have happened.
Now,
this is where we get into the sort of more conspiratorial shit, where we look at what was really maybe going on at the time as well. So there's meant to have been a ship that was out on a legal whaling expedition that's meant to have been like
close
right there and did nothing because they didn't want to be arrested for whaling because they knew if they were there, people would go, what were you even doing here?
Definitely.
And
they're like,
definitely.
Well, your quarter zip says whaling crew, like a whaling trip. 1912. And the back says Shagger on the back.
It says Shagger. Unbelievable. So so that's one thing. The California is this other boat that was also right there.
Right.
And within distance, but they had switched off for the night, being like, well, fuck lemons. And
they saw
rockets and all.
So at the time, 24-hour radio operators weren't a thing.
Yeah.
So the guy had done like a 16-hour shift and was like, I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that was his shift pattern.
Right.
And so after the Titanic...
But what about when they saw the flares?
They were just like, oh, that's...
There was loads of... It was like an amazingly clear night, apparently. It was like the clearest night in 10 years or something. And so that caused all kinds of problems with, like, the flares didn't show up properly.
Wow.
Or they thought that... When the ships thought that the Titanic was...
Setting off fireworks or something, was it?
A bigger boat, I think, closer.
Mm.
So instead of being 20 miles away, it was 10 miles away, and they didn't think it was in trouble. They didn't realise it was a Titanic, pretty much.
And basically, they got some shit for this. I mean, they changed the law so that you had to have boats for at least everybody on board and life jackets for everybody on board. And then they changed it as well so that the radio operation had to be 24 hours a day. Always manned or whatever. And then...
Or woman.
So out of the... Always operated. And it would have been a man anyway at this time. So
and look how it worked out.
The men again. Think about their dicks. Anyway, I don't even... So they basically, I think out of all... I think they only pulled like a few people out of the water alive. Like it wasn't many, like 10 or something. Loads
Wim
of people.
Wim Hof method, mate.
What?
Wim Hof method.
Yeah, so like...
A lot of people didn't get in the lifeboats at the start because they thought... The ship's unsinkable, so why am I getting on this lifeboat? So they were like half full, three quarters full.
That's the other thing, yeah. So loads of them went into the water, you know. I saw a boat being offloaded with 12.
Right.
They were tasted in Belfast. Anyway, right. Yeah. Andrews, fucking Inst bastard. Now, anyway, right. I won a quiz with people from Inst when I was in first year, and I won it again in second year. It was cross community quiz winner. Now anyway, I got a Hewlett Packard.
Question: can we continue this subject?
Yes.
Thank you.
So sorry, Vespasian. So we get to the point now. So the California should have been there and didn't do anything really, and then so the ship that came and saved the people out of the boats and a few out of the water was the Carpathia. So they were on the Carpathia, I think, for like a few days before they got back to New York. Like, I think it was like 3 or 4 days.
Why?
Just like they were waiting like on people to get on and they were looking after them and all. And then they fucking just went a lot slower to make sure there wasn't another problem. So they got there after a few days. And then that's when Billy Zane realizes that he put the gem into the coat. And I put the coat on her! Anyway, unbelievable, Billy Zane, right? So... Rose is displeased. What to do? Anyway, right. Have loads of lines out of it. So they basically that's when the inquiries started then into what happened. There was an inquiry in America, an inquiry in London. Lightoller said that he had the whitewash brush in hand because he didn't want to affect the fortunes of the White Star Line or the staff on the boat. So basically they covered their arses as much as they could. So the story of Captain Smith, the stories that went around about him were what you saw in the movie, where he's supposed to have walked in onto the bridge, knowing that basically knowing that if he didn't go down with the ship, he'd be bastardized forever, which is still sort of a thing. Do you remember that guy? Now, that guy was an absolute wanker, but that guy who was drunk or whatever and fucking sunk the ship and people died.
Was that the Concordia?
Yeah.
And he was already away?
And he was basically, he was off the boat.
Yes.
You're like, yes. You need to be the last person off this fucking vessel. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, the Sully thing, you know, the guy who landed the plane in the river. He was the last person off it, and that was like a real, like an actual big deal. Like, so like Captain Smith went down with it. Loads of famous people died on it. So J.J. Astor, the wealthiest guy on it, he died. W.T. Stead died. Guggenheim died. Guggenheim's the guy in the movie who sits down with a top hat on and drinks. And his man is like his manservant, the valet that was with him, did that as well.
Is he not like one of the, if he's that wealthy, were they not like on the side?
They helped people put jackets on and put them into lifeboats and then went, if we walk off this, like we're ruined anyway, because like people will go, oh, why, rich guy saves himself. And
why
there is a story of one guy.
I'm being serious.
There's a story of one guy who was in a lifeboat with like 12 other people and like a dozen crew members.
Right.
And they just set off, and apparently he paid them all. The sum I heard was a fiver, all the crew members, mental, to just get out of there.
Mental. There's a guy who, I read this, that I wonder if this is the story of
that. By the way,
sorry,
there'll be people listening to and watching this going, fuck's sake, he's saying he would just get off and he would look for any opportunity to get off. And they're acting like the person
they're
on YouTube
like they've
would
died
be like,
on
yes,
the boat.
Yes, they, yeah. They're acting like if they were in this situation, no, I'd die. I'd help.
I'd suck
die.
It up. I love what you went, I could hack that. That's fucking amazing. I could be wrong here. This is definitely a real story that happened, but I think it's the story of the radio operator. So when he got up onto the deck, he was helping to get one of the last collapsible boats out, and basically the boat capsized, and then they did turn it over, but there was still water in it, and he got on it with one of the guys, or sorry, it isn't the radio operator, it's one of the guys from the
one of the stokers.
So he one of the guys who was helping the guy with the broken leg and couldn't get him out.
Is that Arthur John Priest?
It is. And he got up onto the boat, and he was in the boat with a guy, and basically one of them lived and one of them didn't. So they were both stuck in water in the lifeboat, just like in the freeze, and one of them didn't make it through the night.
Arthur John Priest, like, he's one of those guys who was on a few accidents like that and survived them all.
Yeah, it's mental. And there's a guy,
Arthur John Freeze?
Arthur John
there's
Priest.
There's a brilliant interview. Now, I would advise looking this
up. I thought he was Marnie's bro in America.
There's an interview with the purser from the ship, recorded in, I think, the 30s or 40s. Actually, it must be later. It might be the 50s because it's in colour. I think his name's somebody Prentice. He was the purser. So like the money guy on the boat. And he talks about surviving it, and it's fucking harrowing. Like, and he's an old man at that point. And he says, this is a great story. You should still watch him tell it, but because it's better. Obviously, I wasn't there. Where he says that he saw this woman and was talking to her and put her on the... He basically took his life jacket off and gave her it and put her on the boat. And she was asking for her husband. And he said, look, we'll find your husband, whatever. Get onto the boat. It's most important. Put her onto the boat. And then later, when the water came up around the thing, he swam out and got onto that same boat. And she said to him, have you seen my husband? And he said, no. And she took her coat off and put it around him and saved him. And he said, in a funny way, he saved her life, but she also saved his later that night. So that's a fucking... I'm getting chills even. Even thinking about that, Prentice.
Hugh Walter McElroy? No?
No.
Okay. I'm not arsed.
Anyway, old guy, right? So anyway, you can look that up, though. Purser of the Titanic.
The inquiries?
The inquiries basically whitewashed it, and they got the White Star Line got away with it, essentially. They didn't get overly fucked over in any way, which they definitely should have.
Nowadays, there'd be jobs for us all over it.
Oh, mate, they'd get rid to death if that happened these days.
Well, they got some blame because I think their insurance company had to pay out for, like, lost whatever.
Right. But it didn't stop those people. It didn't make Bruce Ismay and the nobody. Like, the guy was rich until he died. Like,
it's
well,
of course.
It's mad how we have made an industry out of it.
Yeah. So 2 seconds, right? So we get to the industry, right? So years later, we'll go years later. People have tried to go find it. They can't find it. They actually tried to investigate, find it, and raising it to get the bodies and stuff like that. They got a lot of bodies out of the water, but this was to try to get more of them, because they knew some would be stuck inside the ship and what have you. And then they realized that it's like 12,000 feet. So it's at 400 regular atmospheres. That's the pressure. Something mental.
How many
mega
miles?
Mega pascals. Yeah, if it's 12,000 feet, what's that in miles? That must be... Is that like a mile down, is it?
I don't know
how many feet are in a mile. Well, how many yards is that then?
4,000?
4,000 yards?
I don't
4
know
kilometers?
I don't know.
2.2 miles.
That's like a path to storm it twice. On a Norway bit. Right, now, anyway. Right, so... all the way down, right? So... When they also thought that the boat sank as one piece, which was later found to be false. Now, so I think this is a good wee conspiracy now, right? Did you know that the two guys that found it, so Jean-Louis Michel and the main guy was this guy, Robert Ballard, who is like a, I don't know, have you ever read any of the Clive Cussler, Dirk Pitt books?
Hey, do you think I have?
Well, he's basically like Dirk Pitt. The James Bond of the sea, right?
Right.
Like an underwater archaeologist / special agent-y guy, right?
Bubble 07?
Oh!
Oh! Pat the head.
This guy.
Pat the head of the Netflix Soy Boy for me.
The Soy Boy's getting sucked off. That was Bubble 07. That is absolutely epic, right? So he wrote the book Raise the Titanic, I think, and also like... all these other maritime, like underwater archaeology, underwater geology sort of stuff, right? And this guy, Robert Ballard, is like a real life fucking Dirk Pitt where he goes and finds proper big shipwrecks. Like, so he found a couple of other ones, but when he was looking for the Titanic, he basically knew roughly where it was. And he knew it was a big area to search, though. And the American government, now this is in the 80s, the American government made a wee deal with him whereby if he did a secret mission for them to find a sunk nuclear submarine, that if he had any time left over, sure, you're already out there, you might as well look for Titanic. But that all worked out because it made it, that's a great cover story for them. Robert Ballard, the underwater guy, he's doing his thing out looking for the fucking Titanic. And so he basically knew where the Titanic was and just needed the money to go find it. And so he went and he found this this sunk nuclear sub. And the whole point to find that was find out if the weapons on board have been fucking exploded. Find out if the nuclear reactor on board is going to be a problem. And it turned out that it was all safe. But they were in like submarine shit. They got right down there and found that submarine, and then we're like, well, we've a number of days. Like, he found that super quick, and then he was like, we've a number of days to find the Titanic, and he found it, and they immediately did like some like artifact removal from the ship, and that's where like there's actual stuff that's been brought up, like plates and all, and like people's personal items that were left there. Like, basically, you know, the stuff at the start of the movie, Titanic, is a real dive there. Like, so, like, James Cameron's obviously been there a ton of times. But it's like all that way down, you need all that special equipment. You saw what happened last year when they didn't have the right equipment. I mean, you know, you try to go 2 miles down into the sea in a lunchbox and see what happens. But get turned into a pepperami. Now, heartless. But anyway, so he found that. And then obviously the finding of the Titanic then becomes brilliant cover for the underhanded secret mission. So that's a nice wee bit of it. And then he went back there after he discovered it. They looked at potentially raising it, but they realized he also was the first person to properly realize it was broke in two bits. There's a brilliant, so the reconstruction they do in the movie where the guy with the big beard tells you how it was pierced with the ice and how it went down. That was what they thought at that time, but then James Cameron revisited it, and you can see it on YouTube now, like a new reconstruction of what the underwater
archaeologists think. Even though it's broken into,
it's too fragile, and there's also all the stuff to do with the cost, the equipment you would need to raise something of that weight, and then also the sort of moral ambiguity around, like, people thinking it's a graveyard. Well, this is the thing. I don't think there's any bodies left on it. I think they've all been picked at by things and stuff like that. So, mental. But crazy time. And then, yeah, so the last bit of this is to look at Ballard went back a few times, obviously, then after that. So he discovered it on 1st of September 85, and then I think he was back there in July 86. Great year, by the way. 86. Back there investigating it and all over and over again, and since then loads of people have been to it. I mean, a handful of people have been to it, but it's like, you know, a relatively well-visited shipwreck. Yes. And then he went on and found other famous shipwrecks and whatever. But this is getting me wet to talk about the Lusitania thing, which I think we should do.
Let's do a future episode.
Because it's a proper, real fucking conspiracy.
One of the other criticisms always been, but was it built properly?
Yeah.
Was there issues with the coal?
Is this the coal thing about the fire?
No, it's just people thought that maybe Harland and Wolff had done it on the cheap.
Well, wouldn't be like a once
but
here.
But then when you look into it, they did it on a specific type of deal, open book policy is what it's called, where pretty much they told,
build it and then tell you what it's going to be.
They told, White Star, whatever. Well, you can look at our books and see what it costs and you pay us 5% more and that's our profit.
Right, okay.
So it would have actually made sense for them to do it as expensive as possible
to
get as much profit as possible.
Well, I watched the documentary a while back about this theory, because apparently there was a fire on the Titanic in the coal room while it was, I think, still in Belfast, Southampton, where, and some people think that this fire, some people think that the damage from this fire is visible on the outside of the ship still, which I didn't buy into particularly with the footage they showed. They're like, look at this dark spot. I'm like, yeah, and when the boat moves, the dark spot moves, so fuck up. But anyway, it's probably a problem with the camera, but anyway, that's a problem with the camera, and that's a problem with the underside of your ball bag. Now, anyway, the
why are you enchanted by your own hands?
So the boat, the ferry,
you look like a man who doesn't have hands. You've just been given one.
They're magical wee things. So some people say that this fire happened, and some people think that it damaged the side of the boat and one of those watertight compartments wasn't watertight. So that's one theory. But then in terms of the industry that's built around it now, so obviously the movie is like the fourth highest grossing film of all time.
Yeah, it's a proper epic.
And was the highest grossing one until Avatar. There's nothing I fear.
Great song.
Say the oh, mere emotions. It's been 84 years since I got bucked in the back of a car. What? Anyway, she loves it. I love that. You know that plot hole with the Titanic is that the whole story is told by an old woman to Bill Paxton, and that must mean then that there's a bit in that story where she goes, so this guy who drew that railed me in the back of a car, like,
and I put my hand on the window, it was all sweaty and all.
Splatted the sweat on the window, fucking, he jizzed on me and all, right? And that was needless.
So what, to summarise, what
I like that she lived a full life after that.
What do you think's mystery and what do you think's history?
The biggest mystery about it is, why does it cost so much to go to that museum? Do you know what I think they should have in the museum? They should have a touch tank with water in it that is as cold as the water.
That is a great shout.
Isn't it?
That is a great shout.
That's Chloe's idea now, to be fair. So, but I will copyright that.
That's 10 out of 10.
A touch tank. Offer you hand sanitizer.
You're definitely the sort of guy that would visit a museum and at the end say, would you guys consider putting in a touch tank?
I enjoy the information panels experientially. It's not what I'd hoped for. I didn't love the experience. Do you know what I really want? Do you know what they should have done? Now, this is going the extra mile, but for the money they were spending, right? Get somebody from the movie to narrate some of the shit. Some dickhead.
The guy that was in Jumanji.
Get Van Pelt. Instead of like, fucking Billy Zane would do it. He's doing fuck all else, right? Yeah. And then like, but Winslet would do it. Or
she wouldn't.
Right, I think she would. DiCaprio does the NASA museum in America. Now, obviously,
that's big point. Obviously, he's dead, so he couldn't do it.
They're dropping, DiCaprio. He dies in the movie.
Oh.
We won't even get into that conspiracy. Was there enough room on that door for both of them?
It was a great bit absolutely. Of stand-up I used to do.
That's that NASA coin dropping from space, right? So I sort of think that like that museum should be better. Somebody like that should narrate, but instead it's like U105 actors being like, you know, tink, 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 could you pass me through another rivet? Tink, tink, tink. It's very hot and sweaty work down here.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, well, this is right anyway. Still good.
It was all right when it left here.
Oh, it didn't sink until it went to Southampton, so it did not, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually the end. They've made the ending of it better, according to a friend of mine who's been early and recently. I haven't been recently, but there's no touch tank, and I think it should have that anyway. I think the stuff that I find conspiratorial and weird about it, I don't really buy that fire story. I don't know. Stuff I find weird about it is the inquiry stuff. They should have been punished harder for that. I also think that the marketing of it is being unsinkable, and then all these powerful people are on it and get sunk, is potentially weird, and some people think is like a cull of the upper class, but I don't really buy that either. I think it's just a terrible, terrible maritime accident, and because of the shit safety laws and shit like societal pressures and stuff, that means that loads of people died. Like too many people died on it, like 1,500 people.
Too many people.
That's double the amount of people that were in my school when I was there.
Yeah.
That's like two Aquinas's of people dead on a boat. Mental. That's mental.
Yeah.
So another, the bit that is a real conspiracy about it is the thing about the nuclear sub. I love that. I love that story.
That's great.
That's brilliant.
I never knew that.
So I think this is mostly history. I think the movie is actually mostly history, and it's just like all he's done is put
a
Romeo and Juliet story over the top of that, which I think is totally legit, you know. And here, you get to see him, Big Milkers. My dad covered my eyes when that happened. I'm like, what are you doing?
My dad, you know,
the story of me going to see it, don't you?
Yeah, my dad covered mine. I peeked through and he was jacking off.
Oh. Loves a wee bit of Winslet, does he? Jacking?
Sorry, I'm joking, yeah, but how weirdly did you just accept that my dad was masturbating?
I know, I knew you were joking. I just deep dived into the joke with you.
He deep dived into his pants.
But you know the story of me going to see that movie where my ma basically fucked me over and I missed the first fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was still there though whenever she got them out. The kid wins it, not my mum. Anyway, right. So that's that sinking feeling again. So thanks for joining us here. I think this is mostly history.
That's great. Mostly history, yeah.
Good times. Right, well, we'll see you in the next one when we'll be dissecting some other mystery or history. Bye.
And in the Kieran Bartlett photo post.